We're right now starting the journey of Shnai Mikra, which is probably the most important mitzvah in the whole Torah, in my humble opinion. I say that kind of as a joke, but actually, kind of seriously, because I started doing Shnai Mikra when I was 11, I remember, in Camp Kesser, and I've been doing it my whole life, so far, 17 years, and it's awesome. And it's the only Torah that's consistently been in my life. Like, everything else, I do a little Gemara here, a little there, switch off. It's always changing. But the only thing kind of anchoring me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my Shnai Mikra V'Chatargum. So I personally think it's a fantastic idea for the whole Jewish people to be learning the Parsha.
It's fine.
Do we have a cup for supposed to have Kiddush on Rosh Chodesh, so making Kiddush, right? We'll make up a nizul. Vayihi 29 days, and it was pretty good. But then the highest of the highest is Rosh Chodesh, the starting of their year, the kapara for last month, starting off, Zayom, Baruch Ata Adonai Elinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. It's a good nizul. Okay, so where does this whole custom of Shnai Mikra V'Chatargum come from? What's it all about? So Gemara in Brachos, Chet Amud Aleph. Hopefully we'll get there in the Seder. Says the following: Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rebbe, Ami. Le'olam Yashlim Adam Parshiotav Imad Sibor. A person should always complete his parshas with the tzibor. I have to figure out what that means with the tzibor. Shnai Mikra ve'echad Targum. Two readings. And what does Targum mean?
Translation.
Right? Traditionally, how is Targum translated? Unklus. Okay, but if you read it literally, what does Targum mean? Translation. Okay? Alright. So, let me ask you guys, if you just read this Gemara straight up, would you think... Oh no, let's keep going. Sorry, the Gemara is not over. Vafilu atarat v'divo. Even these places that the Torah describes, and it's describing the borders of Eretz Israel, which seem to have no significance, even that, you have to read the translation of that. Okay, what would be the translation of Atarot and Divon? Atarot and Divon, something like that. Or Atarot and Divon.
No,
it's just a place. It's just there's a place called Atarot and Divon. So even places and names and things of that sort, you still have to translate that. You got it? There's a lot of discussion as to why the Gemara specifically chose those names and not other names. The best suggestion I heard is from the Aruch HaShulchan, who says that these were actually names given by idol worshippers. They actually named these names, so you might think they have no significance. No, even names given by idol worshippers, even they still have significance, and you have to do Shnai Mikra V'Chatargum even for them. And in fact, this is fascinating. The Zohar finds many of the secrets of the Torah dafka in those sukim, which seem to have no significance. Dafka in the names of the lineage and all the random stuff, which seems to have no significance. Dafka there, they'll find a lot of the Hasidic and Kabbalistic interpretations. So, anyways, you have to read even that stuff with the Targum. Okay? Shekol ha-mashlim parshiotav imat zibur. Anybody does Shnai Mikra. Ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnotav. What does that mean? Ma'arichin lo... He has long days. Ravibi bar Abba Savra lashlumuli l'parshah dekule shata b'mala yom dekibure. This guy Ravibi has an idea. Bibi is going to finish all the parshas right before Yom Kippur. Kind of finish them all before the year's over. So Savra Lakdaminhu, he didn't want to finish, he wanted to proceed. He wanted, before the year even got started, read the whole parsha, get a head start, and do all the parshas one big time. Amar Layahu Saba, that old guy said, Tanina Ubibash lo yakim lo yacher. He says, no, don't go early, don't go late. You have to do each week a different parsha. You're not allowed to do it all beforehand. Okay? So this rabbi wanted to do it all at once, and he said, no, you have to do it every week, one parsha, not all 52 parshas at once. All right, what would be the svara, the rationale behind this? Why wouldn't we be allowed to do it all at once?
It unites the community.
You want to move to the seaboard.
You can take bangers. Exactly. One explanation, the simplest explanation, Chaim, is that way the two work together. If one person's just doing it on his own, it doesn't unite us all together. It's a good reading because it's after stressing im ha-tzibur. Okay, there are other explanations that we're going to get to them as we go on, Hasidic and Kabbalistic interpretations as to why we want to I'll just share one now because I don't know if you'll all be here tomorrow. So according to Chassidut, Chabad, Lubavitch is very big on stressing this. It's not just that we should do to unite the tzibur, but each week has a different lesson to teach us specifically. So if right now it's Parsha Noach, that means there's something in Parsha Noach which is meant to teach the Jewish people and me specifically a lesson. So if we do all the 52 weeks at once, I'm missing out on the lesson. And what Chabad calls this is living with the times. Right? You got to live with the times. How do you live with the times? You learn the Parsha, the Shnai Mikra, every week, and they specifically read every day a different Aliyah. And what you're supposed to do is try to kind of think to yourself, what is the lesson of Rishon? And you're going to read Parsha Noach today, and he said, oh, Noach Matzachen Be'enei Hashem, how do I find Chen in the name of other people? Whatever, right? So I always thought this is a cute idea. One time in my life, I was zocha to actually see it with my own eyes, that this really came true. So I'll tell you the story. Basically, when I was switched to Araita, to teach at Araita about 5 years ago, so I didn't have a place to live. Basically, I was working as a madrich, and they preferred I didn't live in the dorms anymore because I was like having more rabbinical role. So I had to find a place to stay, but I didn't have anywhere to stay. So I looked out everywhere. I finally saw a sign up. It said, for really cheap price, you know, you can crash on my couch. I said, I'll take it. I sold it to Raita, whatever. They said, sure, crash there, no problem. So I ended up finally having an apartment, okay? And it ended up, this apartment, I started doing my Shabbos meals out of this apartment. And then eventually I moved downstairs and I got this beautiful apartment where I could have like really beautiful Shabbos meals. This apartment really ended up being a home for me and like ended up saving my life. In the end, I moved just like 5 seconds away so I could still see the apartment. So I live right next to it. But I looked back 4 months later and I was thinking about this whole story, how I finally got an apartment. It was on Parshat Noach that I got this apartment, right around this time of the year. And what street did I live on? Rehov Ararat. Right, Mount Ararat. What happens in Parshat Noach? The dove finally finds a place to stay. Right, on Mount Ararat, it finally finds a home, and I finally found a home on Mount Ararat on Parshat Noach. It was a pretty cool story of like how this Hasidic idea actually came true in my life. So, anyway, that's getting back to halacha. Okay, so that was two stories there. So if I were to ask you guys, just straight up based on this reading of the Gemara, is this a halachic obligation or is this a nice thing to do? Just if you just read the Gemara, what would you answer me? What do you guys think? Do you have to do Shnai Mikra or is this a suggestion that the Gemara is, you know, saying is a good thing to do?
Suggestion.
Why? Why would you say it's a suggestion? What would give you that?
Because it says whoever does it will get a long life. I find that if you don't do it, you're...
Exactly, because Rav Huna says if you do this, you get a long life. It's an awesome thing to do, but not that if you don't do it, you're a sinner. Right? It's actually interesting. I looked it up. Rav Huna always is the guy who gives rewards for mitzvos. So he's the guy who says, like, if you do tzitzis, you'll get this. And if you, like, you'll get a great clothing. And if you put a mezuzah up, you'll get a nice house. That's like his shtick. He likes giving material rewards. So to plug it back in, takes a little creativity, but why would doing Shnai Mikra give you long life? What's the connection maybe between reading the Parsha twice and having a long life? What do you guys think? What do you guys think? What's the idea behind doing Shnai Mikra? Will Dafka give you long life? Other comment. Yeah. Guys, you can call me Rav Keith now because we have another comment. But you can also call me Rav Kahn, whatever you want. Here's my svarash, guys. Shnai Mikra takes a really long time. If you do it well, especially if you do it with Rashi or a different commentator, it takes a really long time. So a person might say, I don't have time to do this. I have to learn my Gemara Seder. So what? even if you do it by Aliyah, it still takes a long time. So what's Rav Huna promising? Don't worry, I'm going to give you more long life. You're going to have more years of your life to learn the Parsha. Don't worry about it. Just be tamim, be pure, and just learn the Parsha. Yeah.
Was there something similar, like a story about, I don't know if it was the Chacham Rishonim that like sat for an hour, but it was like, it was someone that learned Torah that like, Hashem like enabled them to be super productive.
Excellent. Yeah, so the Gemara in Brachos, fifth parak, my favorite parak, talks about how the people would prepare for an hour to daven. The Yerushalmi is a different reading. It says that they would prepare for an hour, daven for an hour, and then take an hour to unmeditate. 3 hours. And they do that 9 hours a day, three tefillos. So you might ask, how's that possible? How are they going to learn if they're davening all day? I says, no, don't worry. Hashem will make it that their learning will be extra blessed. And it's even better. They're even on a higher lesson level. Right? The Yerushalmi says that tefillah is on such a high level that their learning will be on a super high level. Don't worry about it. So good call, Yekir. It's a very, very similar concept. Mark, you want to say something?
No,
okay, cool. Yeah.
Why would they want to unmeditate afterwards?
They wanted to kind of bring the lessons that they internalized into their life, which is what we do too. That's why we have Ashrei before and Ashrei afterwards, to take the lessons of the Shemoneh Esrei and like kind of think about how I can bring that to my day-to-day life. I think that's the concept. Cool. Okay, so simple reading of the... Oh, one more maybe Rabbini reading. I would say Rabbini would probably say, what does it mean, long days, lengthy days?
Not just like
days. I think you would say that it's not just saying that you're going to have a long life, you're going to live 140 years. It means that your days will be longer, not your years, but I think the Svatemis is the one who says this originally, but that you're going to, if you're living your life when you're reading the Parsha every day, and then you're trying to live the lessons of the Parsha and see how it connects to your life, your life will be longer and more productive and holier and sweeter than someone else's. So it's not necessarily that miraculously. I don't know if they did a statistical study if people who do Shnayim Mikra live longer, but I definitely could say that someone who does Shnayim Mikra every day and makes that part of their day will have a more productive and meaningful day. Maybe that's what the Gemara is trying to say.
Yeah? So the proof of what you're saying now is that the Shnayim Mikra and the Chat Targum is not mentioned in the Mishnah that we recite every morning. The ones that extend your days.
Mm.
So maybe it's just a suggestion, not a law.
So maybe it's just a suggestion, not a law, on a Mishnaic level. But here comes the more complicated part. That's not how almost all the poskim read this Gemara. Okay? But before we get to the poskim, we will get there. Just thought some more really interesting stuff that I found. Rav Huna's bio, he lived from 216 to 297. He was a Rosh Yeshiva of Sura, which is the biggest academy in Bavel, just to put things in context. It wasn't just a Stam guy. This is like the head of the academy who made this idea of Shnayim Mikra. He was rich, tolerant, wise, giving. And he was the guy who said, Kol dichbin yitev yivsach. You know, in the Pesach? He was that guy. He said, anybody wants, come eat, because he was rich, and we get it from him. That's cool. What else? In Hawaiian, Huna means the secret. So my hypothesis is that the secret to life, the Huna, is doing Shnayim Mikra. It's good. Good one. All right. Back to Halacha Seder. That was just fun. They say that the secret, according to Hawaiian people, is to achieve all your desires, keep your focus on what you want and not on what you don't want. Just focus on what you want, which may be connected to Shnayim Mikra also. I don't know. Okay. So the Rambam. How does the Rambam paskin? Is this a halacha? Is this a cute siruti idea? Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Tefillah, Birkat Kohanim, says the following. Afopi Shadam Shomea Kola Tura Kola B'chol Shabbat B'tzibor, even though a person hears leaning, Chayiv L'kros La'atzmo B'chol Shavua. A person is obligated to read to himself every week B'shavua Seder Shavuto Shabbat Shnayim Mikra V'echad Targum. And you have to read Shnayim Mikra V'echad Targum. U'pasak She'ein B'Targum Koreo Shalosh Kamim. If there's no Targum, what do you do? You read it 3 times. Until you finish it with the tzibor. So, clearly, how does the Rambam rule? Is this a suggestion or is this a obligation? It's a halachic obligation. It's not only the Rambam. The Rush, the Riff, almost all the poskim, the big names, say that it's a halachic obligation. Historically, why that happened is an interesting question. I don't necessarily know. But that was the accepted reading of this Gemara, that this is an obligation, and not simply a good suggestion. Interesting to note, though, as a malamed chus. You guys know what malamed chus means? Like to judge favorably. So we know there are a lot of frum people out there, and they keep almost all of halacha, but they don't seem to do shnai mikra every day. So as a malamed chus on them, there's one posek, the Ravan, who rules that you in a place where there's a kriyat Torah, you don't have to do shnai mikra. Since anyway you're going to hear it when you hear the Torah reading, you don't have to read shnai mikra. To be honest, the Shulchan Aruch, as we're going to see, the tour, almost all the poskim disagree and say it's an absolute halachic obligation. But since there's one rabbi out there that says this, maybe all those people who don't do shnai mikra are relying upon that opinion that they probably never heard of. Maybe that's what they're relying upon. But to be honest, really almost all the poskim say that you should do it. It's not just like a joke. It's like a real halacha. It's a rabbinical halacha. It's not a biblical idea. And maybe it's based on minhag. We could argue whether it's a takana or a minhag that became accepted by the whole Jewish people. But in any case, as we see on the second source sheet, the Orech Chaim, which the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, and all the rest of the poskim pretty much say that it's a chiyuv to read the parsha two times with a targum, with a translation. Okay? Good so far? Okay, so let's read that inside in the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll also get a lot of the details. You know there's a lot of different questions of Shnai Mikra. How do you do it? Which Targum is acceptable? Can I read with the Chazon? Is Archgol good enough? So we're going to get to all these details, how do you do the Halacha, today and probably tomorrow, because there's a lot of details. Okay, let's read it inside. Source number 4. Orech Chaim, second page, for those who are following. Rafa, Reish Pete is a simen. By the way, Rafa in Hebrew, who knows what that's called? Weak. Because this is a lot of rabbis' joke. This is kind of a halacha that it's kind of weak. A lot of people don't do it so much. But we're trying to strengthen it here, especially the Raita. By the way, that is why we stress so much the Shnai Mikra at Night Seder. And we're going to start doing Parsha tests. I wrote it up yesterday with money. Because we want to encourage you guys to get into the habit of doing Shnai Mikra. Especially since in college, a lot of times you're not going to have time to do Gemara and stuff like that. But to do the Parsha is something very reasonable, very feasible, and it's halacha. So we push that very strong at Areita that you should get into the habit of doing Shnai Mikra Vecha Tarbi. Okay? So let's see it inside. Who does the Shulchan Aruch sound like? If you look inside, you'll notice that the wording is exactly like who? The Rambam. Shulchan Aruch's main, one of his main rabbis is the Rambam. He word for word quotes the Rambam here. Okay? Im lamada parsha b'peirush Rashi. Does Rashi count? Chashiv kamo targum. That also counts like targum. Okay? V'yireisha mayim yikra targum v'gam peirush Rashi. But he says someone who fears God, which is Shulchan Aruch level language for like the highest level, like the best thing to do, is to do also unglis and also Rashi. Okay? You should know, not everyone requires this. This is a high level. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah agrees, says that the highest thing would be to also do unglis and also do Rashi. Okay? Now, we gotta try to ask a question. What is the point of doing unglis? I understand in the olden days when people spoke Aramaic, why they would read it in Aramaic because that's the language they spoke. But what would be the value of doing unglis nowadays if we don't speak Aramaic? You know, what's the pshat? How do we understand that? Yeah, Ezra?
Every translation is a commentary.
Okay. Yeah. That's true, but isn't unglis also a commentary? So is that a good thing or bad thing?
Yeah.
If every translation is a commentary, so what makes unglis's commentary any more special than any other commentary? Why can't I read Archcroll or JPS or BV whatever? I don't know. You know? Sorry to challenge you, but like you're right, it is a commentary.
So,
I think you're actually correct, but I'm just challenging you because it's fun to do that. But yeah, any other suggestions?
Isn't it like one of the original translations, close to Moshe?
Exactly. So it's not just a commentary. Like it's according to the Gemara in Megillah 3a, Kedushin 39, I think, it's one of those commentators which it was, according to the Gemara, given at Har Sinai. Again, unglis didn't live. He lived much later in history. But apparently it's somehow like so holy, it's like on the level as if it was brought at Har Sinai. Now, how literally we take that is a different question, because it's often that Rashi will argue on Unklus or other commentaries. So if it was really given at Har Sinai, it would seem to be problematic that rabbis are arguing on him, right? So perhaps we would read that maybe more metaphorically, as to kind of say that it has a special status, or Ruach HaKodesh. But in any case, Unklus kind of has like a elevated status, mainly because Unklus incorporates Midrashic readings into the text. Like Ezra was saying, every Midrash is a commentary, and Unklus specifically brings in the rabbinical commentaries. Which is why many will critique it and say, it's not objective, it's not pshat, it's not a GPS, you know? And if we were on Thursday night, Parsha Super Pshat, I probably wouldn't read it, because it's not Super Pshat. But at the same time, it does incorporate rabbinical reading. And maybe the rabbis are trying to teach us that you also want to have a rabbinical reading and also you want to have a pshat level reading. Two readings and Unklus. With that understanding, why would Rashi also be... They're also excited about Shemek. Come on. So with that background, why also would Rashi be an acceptable reading of the text? What do you guys think?
He uses it a lot of Unklus anyway.
First of all, Rashi incorporates a lot of Unklus. What else is good about Rashi?
Everyone likes
Rashi. Rashi's a nice guy. What else? No, on a serious level, he's the most popular. Out of all of the commentaries in Jewish history, Rashi has always been the most popular.
It's easier to read.
It's relatively, on the one hand, easy to read, but if you go into depth into it, it has many, many deeper levels. It's on almost every pasuk, right? Although Shulchan Aruch said, if you read one without Rashi, you have to read it a third time, because not on every pasuk. And it incorporates rabbinical readings into the text, okay? That's why, for example, again, if you want a pshat reading when you're in Chumash class, you might not run to Rashi necessarily as your first shot. You might run to Rashbam or Ibn Ezra, right, or a modern commentary. But if you want to understand how the rabbis with their midrashim and their drushas understood the text, who would be the first guy to run to? Rashi. So, again, we're seeing that Schneidmaker is not just about, this is a chiddush. It's not just about understanding the Chumash. It's also understanding how the rabbis and Jewish history and how, in our Masorah, how we've understood the text. Okay? You get it? It's not just... And that's why I would say that while technically you could read an art scroll, and many I've heard many rabbis say an art scroll also counts, or an English reading, whatever, art scroll actually would probably be better. Why is art scroll probably better than just your standard, more objective... like JPS reading? Because article actually takes into account Rashi's reading and puts it into its reading. Which is why people don't like it, because it's not as objective. But it does incorporate rabbinical understandings into the text. So therefore, that would actually be better. But it's funny, in my house, I found, for some reason, and I don't know why, I think now I might have gotten rid of it, but I had this like biblical criticism commentary on the text. So if I read that, I probably wouldn't be able to the reading. Okay, I've said it. Chevra, so we'll stop here for part one of Shnayim Mikra. Part two, all the details, how to do it properly, the Hasidic and Kabbalistic understanding, coming tomorrow. Shkayach, guys, have a great rest of your mind. Don't forget the bench, Lechvod Rosh Chodesh, Yalav Yavam.